You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Here are your hosts, Wally, Ray, and Will.
You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. I'm Wally and I'm your host. Will T and Ray Jeezy are out. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Search All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T would normally say this, let's get into our tradition. The pregame. And also, before I say that, wish me a happy birthday. Today, we're taping this show on Tuesday, April 23rd, and today is my birthday. So, if you hear this podcast and you're on Twitter, hit me up on Twitter. Say, happy birthday, Wally. All right, let me go back to it. Let me rewind. Rewind. Will T would normally say this. Let's get into our tradition. The pregame. Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report will join me to talk about who the Washington Redskins may draft in the NFL draft. The NFL draft is going down Thursday, April 25th, and it's going on through the weekend. So, them Skins better make that right move. But first, right now, we have Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report on the line. What's up, Adam?
Hey, how's it going, Wally? Happy birthday, my man.
Oh, man, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. So, Adam, before we get started, what's the latest Burgundy and Gold Report blog?
We released this morning. We came out with a little bit different than other people. A lot of people come up with mocks. I kind of merged my mock and Big Board Edition, which is the Big Board Edition, the in-depth Redskins top 25. I go on the assumption that players like Kyler Murray, Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Allen, Devin, Dwan Taylor, the big names are off the board, and I base my 25 board on that. With it definitely got some mixed reviews, but I think a lot of people understood that it was directly focused on the Redskins' needs and, best players available, as well as blue chip players mixed in as well.
Yeah, and I saw your blog as well, and I thought it was quite interesting. I think a lot of players on that list the Skins should target. We talked about this before on a prior show that it depends. Everybody's different in terms of how they observe talent. And, if they pick their favorites or even guys that they talents or talents that they prefer. Right. Some people like pocket passers more and they like mobile quarterbacks. Right. Some people have like they lean towards that and whatnot. And, I saw that you had like in terms of the board, you had Haskins, I believe, rated at the last. Was he 25th?
Oh yeah,
yeah, 25th.
Yeah, honestly, like I respect his talent, but the fact that if the Redskins didn't need a quarterback so bad, I honestly don't even know if he would have made the 25.
Gotcha.
Because his skill set is good. I just think it needs time. I've seen too many quarterbacks with his kind. To say Jason Campbell was even as good as him, but a lot of people looked at Jason Campbell, and I would say they weren't that far off because, he was rated as a mid to late first rounder.
True.
And Haskins, with the 1 year experience, a lot of people have to understand, those Urban Meyer offenses are scripted especially for quick receivers to get downfield. And you have to see him against NFL defenses and having receivers that aren't going to run a 4-3 flat downfield. And I just would. Gruden is trying to do, I know you're going to see it with O'Connell this year. They're going to use a lot of quick hit strikes and they're going to focus the run game. And that is something he could do, but I think that they're looking for someone that's a little more mobile and can get out of the pocket. I like Haskins, but he's nowhere near ready. I put Locke high because it's just the way the board fell for me. Because I would definitely take a defensive player over Locke, but I think if somehow Locke would fall to them at 15, he'd be a situation where if he had to come in midseason, he'd get his bumps and bruises. But I think what Jay's looking to do to go downfield, I think he's actually the perfect quarterback for that in this draft. I just, if he's there, I'd be shocked, to be honest with you, because I think a lot of people are talking about Murray and the other guys, but I think secretly a lot of the teams like Locke's ability.
Oh, wow. Okay, so obviously the draft is going down Thursday. You've been watching, like you mentioned, you watched a lot of tape on a lot of these prospects. We talked about your board a little bit, but in the grand scheme of things, what does your board look like? Who's your top overall talent? And also, you know, and go down the list. We don't have to go all 25, but, you know, just to.
Of course. A basic idea. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we saw Brian Burns, you know, as I saw, you were actually a contributor on Football Garbage Time.
Yeah.
.com. I actually came across that and I saw, you know, your description. Props, man. It was definitely on point, your assessment of him. And, mm-hmm. I think he's being so underrated
Me too.
By a lot of people.
I agree.
In this draft. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my main thing with Burns, you know, to make it short is, yes, okay, he's a third down specialist and people worry about the run, but, you know, if I'm not mistaken, the league is going to a heavy passing offense.
Yes.
This guy is going to be at a premium. You're going to talk, you know, Khalil Mack and these guys are showing, these guys are going to start making $25, $30 million a year. So mm-hmm. he's first on my board. And mm-hmm. like I said, you know, I moved down the to Locke as the first quarterback. I have him at number two, but you know, there is other players that can definitely go in front. You know, going down the list, Montez Sweat, I have him high. A lot of people are floating the heart condition issue.
Yeah.
And he could definitely fall to the Redskins.
Yeah.
This is definitely smells like the situation with John Allen and the arthritic shoulder. If that happened, that would be an absolute score for the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying he could be a Pro Bowler, a rookie, you know, the day one, but his speed and power. He's like a faster, more diverse version of Preston Smith, to be honest.
That's
with
great.
You.
That's good.
And I don't like to do comp, but like, you know, same school, you know, if it fits. You know, Hawkinson, I have him on the list from Iowa. I'd be shocked if he's there. It comes to Hollywood Brown. He's one of my favorite. And if it wasn't for the, you know, the foot injury, I think it wouldn't even be a question. Everybody would be talking about him going top 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd have to think long and hard if he's available. And then after that, my top safety, which is, you know, unlike a lot of other people, mm-hmm. I like Nasir Adderley from Delaware.
Yeah.
He's a really unique talent. He showed in the Senior Bowl. He's just not afraid to mix it up, and he's a ball hawk. And we get to your guy, I believe. Cody
Ford. You know it's my guy. You know it. That's my guy.
Oklahoma. And he's definitely – and he's at the top, not just because of his ability to play tackle and guard. I just think he's probably one of the best maulers in the draft. And if you talk about, you know, the whole chemistry thing with the Redskins that they're doing with the Alabama guys, I think starting to build a little Oklahoma with him, Trent Williams, and AP, that could be something to watch. And then my next guy, and I told you on Twitter about this guy, Dalton Risner.
Yeah.
He's next to board. He's my favorite. He's just so versatile, former tight end in Bill Snyder's offense. You know, one thing about some of those blockers, they're able to get out in space and excel, and that's what the Redskins need. You know, going down the list, I start to really get a lot of offensive linemen after the safeties. You know, Chris Lindstrom from Boston College, and then Jonah Williams, Alabama. Those are both guys that can play tackle and guard. I just think right now we cannot get too comfortable with Trent Williams and Moses, because I really think we're starting to see the downside of their career. Trent Williams, I have a little more faith. I think Moses, they got to find a way to get out of that contract very soon, because it's going to bury them. Go down the list, and a guy that I actually didn't have at first was Cleveland Farrell from Clemson, because he's more of a 4-3, you know, three-point stance rusher. But the more I watched him, they could do a lot worse than him, and I'm hearing a lot of things that they're really – of course, they're into the Alabama guys, but they really focused on a lot of the Clemson guys in the national championship. So I would not be surprised to see them pull the trigger if he's available. And then we start to go through the receivers, like A.J. Brown comes up.
Mm-hmm.
John Kimes, guy today on ESPN, he actually had Devin Bush as the Redskins pick. I have him about midway through.
I love Devin
Bush.
I think
he would actually, you know, we didn't see what they were doing with Josh Harvey Clemens. I'd say I don't know. But they're obviously trying to do something with that dime linebacker idea. And I think, you know, putting him in at 5'11", 234, it sounds small, but, you know, you watch him on tape, and he's definitely mixed it up. You know, everyone talking about, you know, Rashawn Gary, I'm not a fan of his. I'm a fan of this guy. And
you don't like Gary?
I'm not a fan of his game.
I will say I like Gary. I think Gary, and I've watched, I'm a Michigan fan, so I will say it's about Gary is super talented. He blows things often. I think, and I hear talks of Gary being a 3-4 outside linebacker. I think he's better suited as a 4-3 defensive end. I think he'd be as a 4-3 defensive end.
And that's why he's not on my list. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm not putting him off my list because I don't like him yet.
Yeah.
I brought him up today. Not that he's like Taco Charlton, but he's in the same kind of boat where he's coming in with a shoulder injury already. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling you're going to see a mulligan here no matter where he goes. I like his teammate, Chase Winovich.
I love Chase. Chase is a 3-4. He's a 3-4 outside linebacker. I think
He falls 20 on my list.
Yeah.
I've got my guy, P. Nice, on Twitter. We were talking about him the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He's really, I wouldn't say about jumping up the boards, but I just think people are like me. Put a little more tape and watched a couple more games from him, and he's always around the ball. You know, I think the Shane Matthews, of course, because you see the hair.
Yeah, I know. But that's a very comparable, though. That's fair, though. That is fair, though.
I see some of his game, and, you know, again, I don't like the comp, but, you know, I'd be happy if the Redskins got him. You know, a trade-back situation, more and more, I'm thinking we're going to see a trade-back situation quarterback later round. I think the whole Josh Rosen thing, I think any of the top quarterback, I think that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that. I'm with you on that. I'm starting to think that's not going to happen either.
And, you know, we go down, and like I said, you know, and more safeties. There's some, I've got, four safeties on my list. You know, Savage from Maryland, he's really jumping up boards. You know, then the other local guy, John Thornhill, from Virginia. Mm-hmm. You know, these are guys that are ball hawks, and I haven't seen these many free safety ball hawk types in the first round. Usually the issue is one or two goes and then the rest are more box style safeties. So, you know, we add the safeties in and then the depth of the offensive line, you know, Garrett Bradbury from NC State, and, you know, finish off with Hakeem Butler, the receiver from ISU with Dwayne Haskins. You know, there's some real talent that, you know, and all of these guys on my list, I think some people mistake and look like, okay, first round, no, top 25. And saying that, we could probably see maybe 3 to 5 of these guys available when we pick in the second round. So this big board is a little different in that it could speak for the first and second round. So if we walked away with the draft with two of the guys from this list, I think we'd do really good.
I think I'm with you on that. You're listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Team right now. I'm rapping with my man Adam from Burgundy and Gold Report. So, Adam, you mentioned Brian Burns. You know, obviously, I'm a fan of Brian Burns. And also, you schooled me to Brian Burns. I started doing more research on him, and that's when I started falling in love with him. Do you think the Skins are – do you think it's likely that he'll fall at 15?
No.
Okay.
I start to look at things, I look at Twitter, I look at Facebook. The more you hear something, the more I start to believe it less.
Yeah, I get it.
And what I'm seeing is the Burns talk, people are finding reasons to bring him down. And this just sounds like a lot of prospect. It's happening year after year when certain teams, I think, really fall in love with the prospect. I think we're going to be surprised. I think Burns is probably going to go after Bosa. I think, you know, a lot of people are they're expecting Allen and Sweat. I think Sweat's going to drop, and I think Allen's going to have a little bit of a drop, not to the 15th spot, but, you know, maybe to, you know, 9, 10. So I think Burns looks like he could be a Raider to me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Burns could be a Raider. You mentioned Sweat, too. So you mentioned the health issues that, you know, Sweat was always rated higher than Brian Burns. Am I correct by saying that initially?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
still today, Pete, he's still rated higher than Burns on most boards.
Okay. So if there's a chance that he slips to the Skins, do you think that's a guy they would definitely take? Because initially I didn't think they were going to get Sweat. I just, you know, I said Sweat's awesome. I don't think he's going to be a Skin. Do you think now, like, because of the health issues, do you think he can move down to 15?
I definitely think possible, because I think one thing that I think we can rely on is people are going to get quarterback hungry, and all the talk about people slipping. Now, I think you're going to see potentially, you know, you're going to have Murray, Locker, Haskins, whatever that order. And I think, you know, as much as I don't even think he belongs in the first round, Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
You know, we can see all those guys go in the top 15. Teams get desperate. You know, look at the Vikings did with Christian Ponder a few years,
so,
you know, what, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was like 15, 13th overall, so – yeah, I can see that happen. What that's going to do, it's going to cause, you know, really good prospects to fall. And I think Redskins, it's been a couple drafts in the last 10 years where we've got some guys that were questionable from, you know, possible injuries or pre-existing this and that. And Sweat could fit that mold, especially being from the SEC. I think the Redskins are showing that, you know, with especially, you know, adding guys. So it's just not just the Alabama guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Smith, their number one scout, is their Southern scout, and he's second in charge under Williams with scouting. So I think the SEC is basically like their pipeline for the rest of the duration while they're there. And Doug Williams, they say he's there to, you know, evaluate the character, not the, you know, the game of them. So I think that, you know, if any of the SEC guys are going to be available, that's why I'm using Cleveland Farrell. It's not necessarily my choice. Mm-hmm. It's what I think is on their radar. And I think all of those guys, you know, in the national championship game, anybody that faced Alabama in the playoffs, that's going to be somebody that the Redskins have their eye on.
I will say this, though. If Burns or Montez Sweat, if they're not available, I'm looking at your board. Like, I kind of want Hollywood Brown. You know, I've been all on for, like, Cody Ford. Like, that used to be my thing. Like, Cody Ford was my guy initially. But now that I think about it, and just at the state of the Skins' wide receiver position, they need a dynamic playmaker. I was all for this team to try and make a play for DeSean Jackson when, you know, he was on the market, because I want that speed threat back for this team. An element of that. But I think if you can draft a guy who has that ability to intimidate safeties, to make it easier for Jordan Reed, if healthy, or, you know, to get up in the middle, and also for a Dotson and get easier catches up the middle rather than trying to, you know, have him fly out for a deep pass or fly route, or go route, excuse me.
Well, that's why Haskins looks so good, because, you know, he had McLaurin and Campbell.
Yeah.
Those are two guys that aren't on the list, but, you know, don't get a mistake, and those guys are going to go pretty early second round, late first round. So, you know, Hollywood is my number one. If I were any other than Hockenson, I think he'd be the only other receiver offensive skill position.
Mm-hmm.
But I think exactly people are underestimating, like, how good he can be in the pros. And like I said in my article, you know, deep threat is a deep threat, but 18 broken tackles in one season. Everyone is focusing on, you know, his weight. Okay, you know, he plays in a weak division. I get it. But 18 missed tackles, that he showed me a lot on tape. And I think you can feature that guy like a Tyreek Hill. And
there you go.
If you said to any team right now, would you use number 15 on Tyreek Hill? They'd say yes.
Yes, exactly.
This guy is Tyreek Hill on steroids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if he's available, I would not be surprised if the Skins pull the trigger on him.
See, yeah, you just mentioned that was his comp to me, Tyreek Hill. People wouldn't complain about height with Tyreek Hill. You wouldn't complain about it. He's a problem. Yeah. He's a playmaker. He's a serious problem. Anytime you have that ability to beat a two deep safety, you know what I mean, on a go route or going up the seam, like, you want that. You make it easy for your quarterback. And it also, if you want to throw a wide receiver screen, like, you can. There's so many things you can, like, that player can do in the passing game.
Yeah, you know what? Another guy that could do is AJ Brown out of Mississippi. You know, I was getting a couple people were really giving me slack, saying he didn't even believe he belonged in the first round. I said, have you watched this guy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have DK Metcalf and all these on the
highlights. He's better than Metcalf. He's better than Metcalf. Yeah.
This guy was playing the X, the Y, the slot, high school track star, 400 meter, runs the route tree. This guy is this, and we're talking about comps. I'm not trying to, but, you know, this is Pierre Garçon right here
with a
more versatile game.
Mm-hmm.
And at 6'2", 226, you know, he's not just running around people. You know, this guy is talented. So, you know, people, there's no Julio Jones, Randy Moss type in this draft.
Yeah.
But what there is a bunch of speed guys who know how to run routes. There is, you know, there's those guys that are just freelancers running downfield like Metcalf, and that's why I don't have them on my board, or I won't even have them on my first round.
I agree.
But, you know, A.J. Brown, Hollywood, you know, and then, you know, the Hakeem Butler that made the list. This guy is another one at 6'5", 227. Man, his film is ridiculous. He really is a power forward out there playing receiver. He averaged a 22.0 yards per catch average. This guy is unbelievable. You know, I'm a little worried about, you know, the level of competition at Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm going on Redskins' needs. I'm not going on the top 25 of the draft.
Of course.
You know, to make him I had to at least have three receivers. And, you know, this guy is somebody that we could definitely see end up in the later part of the first round.
So, all right, you mentioned Josh Rosen. So, do you really believe the Skins are out of the Josh Rosen
I do.
Trey, so what made you think that? Like, what made, you said it earlier, but what made you think that?
I think I just look at the ego of the team. You know, that's what I just pay attention. And I think Snyder and Allen are the kind of people that are like, okay, this is the deal. This is it. Here's the deadline. Boom. And I think they probably gave a couple offers that were like really low ball, really weak. And I think they're still holding out for the first round. They're willing to go into the draft and hold out hope that, you know, someone's going to give them a late first round for Rosen. But I think that Redskins are pretty much making their minds up. You know, I think that they're going to convince themselves that, okay, they got Case Keenum, and okay, let's see how Alex Smith will be next year. And but I think a little more urgency just arose when, you know, McCoy had his third surgery. So that could change things a lot. But I think Arizona would have to come way down. You know, the scenario I had was the scenario that Arizona wants is we would trade our 15th overall and our comp third for Rosen and their 33rd overall. Because if you want to make the system, you know, make the point system work, you know, he was 10th overall last year, he's devalued. So they'd have to get something back. Or, you know, they could offer up their 46 and their 96 conditional pick and maybe something next year for Rosen. But all those combinations, after reading them to myself, what I say is Allen doesn't want to give that up. They don't want to give that up. So if we see something happen, it's definitely Snyder. And that's why right now I just think that they're going to convince him that, listen, build the defense, we'll fix this. And you know what? That's not the worst plan.
It's not.
Because, you know, I've separated myself as a fan, you know, over the past year a lot more. You know, I would have been like, Ra, let's go for Murray. The rumor is the Jets are offering the third. Let's go get him. That's the big rumor. It's smokescreen. I'd be shocked if that. If that happens, that means Snyder walked in and said, I've got control again of this. Everyone sit down. So I don't know if that's happening. If they are going the direction I think they are, which is going to load this defense and, you know, they'll be like, get Greer in the second round, I actually think that that would be a pretty decent move. And I'm saying that because I don't think they're going to get Rosen. And I think the more they look at his politics and the more they look at what he's about, I don't think they're going to go that route.
So we're talking quarterbacks now. So rumor has it the Skins are really interested in Dwayne Haskins if he does slip to 15. Do you really buy it? Like they are in love with Dwayne Haskins?
I think it's not. If anybody is, it's Snyder, and nobody is nobody else. Because I think, you know, Jay, I think he gave a little bit away of what he was looking for when he compared the two when they were at the meetings and the open media session, and he was stating that the fact that Haskins had, you know, 1 year of playing compared to Locke's other years, you know, he would look for a quarterback that. But at the same time, I think he also made it clear that he's not looking to do any kind of competition because it stunts the growth of the starter.
Yeah.
So I think he's completely happy with going Case Keenum and going Greer, because Greer would not have that pressure to come in as a first rounder, even if they decided, which this could be a possibility, you know, they make their pick at 15 and then they trade back into the later part of round one and get Greer. I think that they would mark that up as a win, you know, a day one win, and the rest would be gravy after that. So if that's their plan, I'd honestly be on board because, you know, mortgaging more of their future, I think they've done that. And as much as I think Rosen could help or even a trade up, I don't think it's going to happen. Like I said, Haskins is not falling to 15. That's the thing. I think everybody wants people. I think they want that to be the reality. They want,
I agree.
People want to trade out. That's what they want. They want to get. They've seen, you know, the cost that Redskins will pay. They've seen what other teams will pay. So they're trying to trump it up however they can. So in the end, there's going to be teams that come up and they're going to trade draft picks and, you know, just to get their quarterback. So even if we look at it as a lower quarterback class after Murray, people are still going to go after Haskins. You know, you have a team like San Diego, others that, you know, are looking at the
Jacksonville,
Rivers, you know, or even Jacksonville looking. Yeah. You know, they have a quarterback for 2-3 more years. You know, at the price of quarterbacks now, you're looking at, you know, $40 million in 5 years would be the average of the top 10 quarterbacks. So, you know, you jump up from, you know, next year's first in a third this year, they get a quarterback that will be ready in 2-3 years. They'll have a fifth-year option on them, and they'll have 3 good years to find out what they can do. If they can't do anything, maybe they have a serviceable backup. Football is going to turn into a game of chess now. The game is totally changing, especially when it comes to skill positions, which right now it was left tackle and quarterback. It's quarterback and edge rusher right now because, you know, those are the shiny positions. I think Mac showed that one trade can turn an average team into a playoff team. And unfortunately, we're going to see the Bears on Monday night next year. And
ooh, scary.
Just how good one player can make them. And I'm not saying Burns is ready to be that, but I think when you throw in Burns with the collective we got by extending Ioannidis, that was even Collins, as much as I like the Collins signing, the Ioannidis re-signing was the best move. They saved themselves $50 million by doing that.
You know what would be a better move to get an extension for Brandon Scherff? That would be the best move.
Yeah, and that's what we're waiting for. That's what we're waiting for right now. And my thing is, if his agent is smart at all, he's telling them, listen, you don't have to do it. You can hold. If you wait through this year, he could be making another $6-7 million.
So true.
I'm not going to expect that, and honestly, I don't know if I expect him to be long-term anyways, because I think this offensive line 2 years from now is going to look drastically different, and they know it. Mm. You're going to see with the picks we have, they're going to try to trade back and get as much extra as they can, and I'm telling you why, because they're going to want to build that line. They know what's going on. I think that they have an idea that this offensive 2 years straight of the injuries, they're going to realize that They tried drawing Christian, didn't work. They're trying Flowers just for depth. They're going to invest some picks in offensive line, and that's part of the reason I had so many interior line and flex linemen on my list, because I really think that the Redskins are going to be part of their game plan. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit, but I think they showed the way they build the defensive line. They're going to work on the offensive line this year in the draft.
Yeah, it only makes sense.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's too much credit to give them, but it seems that they heavily invested in the defensive line. So it seems like now get your blue chip at 15, get your quarterback somewhere, and invest in the offensive line from there. And receivers, of course.
Yeah, I think the receivers definitely. We'll continue this discussion after break. You listen to Urban Sports Saying for ages. You dig? Deuces. Listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. I'm Wally and I'm your host. Will T and Ray Jeezy are out. Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report is on the line with me. So, Adam, the Skins need an explosive wide receiver. Should they target one in the second round? And if so, who?
I like Deebo Samuel.
Look, we think so much alike. We think alike because I said the same thing on the other show on the football garbage time. We think alike.
I really like him. I like the Ohio State guys. I think they might go earlier, like Campbell and McLaurin.
Yeah,
They would probably fit better. But at the same time, I think the Redskins are going to say they're paying Richardson a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to really look target, like I said, maybe unless it's Hollywood, but they're not going to target that kind of speed, deep threat. So, someone with speed, like Deebo, he's fast. See him on a kick return, that dude is electric.
Yeah.
I think we're most likely going to see someone like him over someone like a smaller type receiver. Because I think, even though Quinn has got, he's being penciled in right now as a slot. I think they're going to plan to move a lot of players around. So I think the slot is going to be a relative term this year. And I think that one thing about this draft, it's deep with wide receivers, and they're going to find the little quick twitch receivers. They'll be able to find them in the fifth and sixth round, but that'll be their second, go around. I think they'll definitely invest, if not a second round, one of the third rounds they're going to invest in receiver.
Yeah, I think Deebo's Samuels would be a good one to pick up. I just think that he can kick off. He can do kickoff returns. And also, he's electric. He's an electric wide receiver. So anytime you can get, you can, you know, throw a 5-yard pass and a guy has this elusiveness to take it to the house or, you know, make the big play, that's something this team needs.
That's what it's been lacking since Deshaun Jackson left.
Yeah. So is there a beast guard that could slip to the third round or even the second round that the Skins would draft to play alongside Sheriff, Trent Williams, Moses, and Rudier?
Yeah, I can see the guy. I have 22 and 23 on my list. Mm-hmm. Eric McCoy, guard from Texas A&M, 6'3", 303. I think he could definitely be somebody that does can really push the pocket. Another one among what I really like is Garrett Bradbury from NC State. I like him because he plays guard and center. And right now with our center position, I like what we have in Chase Roullier, but I think that, you know, we can't be too content with that. Mm-hmm. So someone like Garrett Bradbury, he could definitely slip into the later part of the second, even maybe early third. I doubt it because he's a guard center type, and definitely teams. One thing that's really hard to get is a dominant center these days. So a guard center combination like Garrett Bradbury, he's definitely going to be in high demand. So, but you know, you have some later rounds on the kid out of Charlotte. But there's definitely some, every day I put out some small school prospect gems, and there's definitely going to be some in the later stages of the draft that are going to be able to help and contribute with the Redskins this year.
So if you were running the Skins draft board, how would you? I mean, day one is day one, but how would you target? I guess how would you target day two? How would it be what would your focus be? Would it be offense? Would it be just, you know, best players available? Would you still be trying to work on the defense? How would you kind of go about building this team up in the draft?
Well, let's say we get the scenario. So let's say, okay, with our 15th overall pick, mm-hmm. we got Brian Burns or Montez Sweat.
Okay.
So we address the edge after that. Okay.
Okay.
So to me, the second round, as much as people think, receiver, yes, again, it's very important. But like we were saying, solidifying this defense with, you know, a free safety would change everything.
Okay.
Because right now, you know, Norman, Dunbar, and Moreau, I'm sorry, I'm just – they don't give me any kind of confidence at all. And if you, any of the free safeties that I have here, Nasir Adderley, Gardner Johnson from Florida, mm-hmm. Darnell Savage from Maryland, mm-hmm. Juan Thornhill from, you know, Virginia, all of those guys can play slot, corner, and free safety. And at least one or two of them, probably Juan Thornhill from Virginia, I could see him possibly being available in the third round, maybe early parts, but, that would be something I would target there. And then, you know, of course, left guard, receiver, and, you know, the cornerback class, I'm not that happy with it. So I think the cornerback is more developmental, and I think we have those guys right now with Adonis Alexander and Greg Stroman. So I think we probably shouldn't – that's probably – the defensive line and cornerbacks are probably two positions I think we shouldn't focus, you know, maybe our 6th, 7th round. But before that, like I said, we get our edge, left guard, receiver, tight end. If we can a tight end that can actually block and mm-hmm. catch,
that'd
be
good.
A good thing. And you know, there's a couple. You know, West Virginia tight end. You know, he's a big boy. You know, he's not known for catching, you know, the ball too much, but you know, he's somebody that we could definitely line up in the backfield. And you know, they've used Ryan Anderson in the kind of fullback twitch role too. And I think that's something that we can get in the draft this year too, that they need to start thinking outside the box a little more, you know, similar to New England and other teams out there, and trying to get players that are multidimensional. So I think if anything, I would say that should be the target for, you know, their second pick, their second, third, you know, through 5th round, is trying to find players that can offer more than just one position.
You know, I'm hearing about about West Virginia, Will Grier. I mean, they're in love with him. How about that as a second round pick?
I'm starting to really warm up to him more and more. I keep hearing all this stuff about his arm. Just watch the Redskins offense and what Gruden does. He wants him to read the defense and look over his progressions. And people say he doesn't do that. I don't know what they're watching, because he looks off safeties. He'll carry his safety all the way down the field, 15 yards. And he'll go left side. And okay, he may not have the strongest arm, but he's getting it there every time. And you know, he has issues protecting the ball. You know what rookie doesn't? You know, so I think Greer, not a first round, but if they decide to jump up in the end of first round or second round, I think that they'd be in a good position because they wouldn't be locked in as their franchise. And honestly, I think they're a little nervous to do that with Alex Smith still counting so much on the books for the next 3 years. So that's why I'm starting to cool off the Rosen thing and I'm starting to cool off the first round quarterback because I think they're really telling themselves that, you know, let's wait another year for Alex Smith and, you know, maybe next year we'll look at a quarterback. And, you know, meanwhile, this year they know there's more urgency. So they're going to probably go quarterback in second round. That's my take. In the end, I think for now at least, is that they're probably going to go Will Greer or you know someone along those lines in the second or third round.
If not Will Greer, who I guess in the second round, who would they target? Would it be if Daniel Jones slips to the second round, it's a guy that they would probably take. But
he'll be gone. He'll be gone. You know,
which is crazy to me. Like it's crazy that he would be gone by then. Like he should be in the second round. Like he should definitely be a second round pick.
It's because he's with Eli Manning, Peyton Manning's coach, and you know this and that. But he looks nothing like him. So I wish that, you know, the media would stop. You talk about a media hype. That's a media hype quarterback.
It
People
is.
Were saying that they were hyping up Haskins for the media. No, Haskins has got talent. Haskins is legit. He's really young and he needs work. But you know, in the later round, you know, third round, you have Jarrett Stidham, you know Clayton Thorson, you know, my guy Tyree Jackson, I think would be a great project to bring to Washington because you know, I think, you know, unless Case Keenum goes down, and he's shown to be pretty durable, I think, you know, someone like him to learn for a year wouldn't be the worst thing if we can get him on, you know, our late third round flyer at 96. And then after that, you kind of start to drop a little too much. You know, you get Easton Stick from North Dakota State, you know, and some of the small school ones. Those guys are more Colt McCoy-like career backups that are a little small, can't stay healthy. But they're not going to wait that long. I think Greer, Stidham, you know, a lot of people are Brett Rippon fans. And I think that if they talk to most evaluators, they'll tell them the Rippon's not going to go anywhere earlier than probably the fourth or fifth round.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's a handful of quarterbacks, you know, that are going to at that spot. So I think with the Redskins 2 third-round picks, that's what's going to guarantee them their quarterback, is those picks right there are going to be able to move them up, like I said, either to the latter part of first round or jump up in beginning of the second round.
So with all these picks, how important is this draft for the future of the Skins? And is this a make or break draft for this team?
No, this is building. You know, like I said, the Giants, they're like more blatant about it. They're just, you know, having a fire sale, getting rid of people. But the Redskins are rebuilding. And I think if they continue to build the defense, they'll show their dedication to it. Because I know everyone, you know, with Gruden, he's on the hot seat. But the offense is not going to get solved in 1 year, no matter what they do. If they use every pick on offense in this draft, they're still not. It's not going to change them from a 7-8 win team to a 9-win team, maybe at best. But by solidifying this defense and with a good run game, we build the line a little more solid, so we can sustain injuries. We definitely could be a 10-win team and compete for the division. So, like I said, if they just keep on the path and don't, you know, they cannot afford to trade up multiple picks to get up in the top 10. You know, 10 maybe. I would say 10 is the farthest they could go. I could see them going from 15 to 10. It would be minimal. But as far anything farther than that, I think they just need to stand pat. And I think that's what they're going to do in the end.
Well, Adam, man, thanks for being on, man. But before I let you go, again, please let our listeners know how they can catch you on social media and also about about the blog.
All right, thank
the blog
you.
Site, excuse me.
Thank you. Again, like I was talking earlier, my guy Paul at PDC 1010, my big collaborator on Twitter with a lot of prospects. He brings a lot of prospects to my attention, really hard off the hardcore film watcher like myself. And as I previously on your show, I mentioned we're going to have the hashtag Boots on the Ground tour starting the 25th at the draft through the 27th with Dana Sparkman. You can follow her at Dana. The number 4, Bama. And she's going to be at the draft live tweeting all weekend, sending pictures for the B, representing the B&G report. And we're really excited that we're going to have someone live tweeting for us at the draft. And that's going to be really exciting to see who we end up picking.
Well, make sure you keep sending me the content so I can share, tweet it, and do what I need to do.
Okay. Thank you very much. And again, everyone can follow me at the B&G report. And you can follow me on Twitter, again, at the BNG Report.
And she's talking about the Facebook page, too.
I get a Facebook, but BNG for life.
Okay.
Redskins BNG for life. Yeah, that's a lot of family and friends I got together.
That's
cool. Really just started growing over the last couple months. So, that's where all the Burgundy and Gold Report content actually is found.
Good. Plug it all, man. Plug it all. Okay. All right. Hey, Adam, thanks again, my man. And thanks for the birthday wishes. I appreciate that.
Hey, thank you. Again, have a great birthday, man.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
HTTR.
Again, that is my man, Adam, from the Burgundy and Gold Report. So make sure you check his content out, man. This was a great show. Appreciate you all for listening. You've been listening to All Skins, Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. Hopewell, Virginia, for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.
Swag.